Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com, this is
Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television from Fancy Pants Gangsters Network. My name's Chris.
And I'm Jerxica.
We're here tonight after a short 4th of July hiatus to talk with you about, you guessed it, if it jerks because on the line, you know, it's either going to be Veronica Mars or reality competitive singing shows. And since Veronica Mars got its formal love letter from Blogulator Radio a few weeks ago, we're going to focus on two reality competitive singing shows. Actually, one of them, I think, technically likes to consider itself a reality competitive songwriting show.
Mm-hmm.
But in every sense of the word, it basically is just another American Idol The Voice type show. But speaking of The Voice, which somehow has gotten its way into the lexicon of people that consider American Idol being the competitive reality singing show, it's become basically the other one. It's
do people watch both? I mean, we do because we're nerds,
right?
But I mean, do people that are sincerely into American Idol with, you know, not the healthy dose of sarcasm that we have, are they also voice watchers?
I think that's
and
why
vice versa.
I think that's why they program it opposite of American Idol, so that it's so it starts as American Idol is ending.
But it wasn't at first, right? It was originally competition,
right? It was, yeah. I think what they're trying to do is get the best of both worlds, is so that people that watch American Idol can watch the majority of The Voice, but also to try to compete against it to see if they have some strength in it. Actually, I think they are moving up the premiere date for season two up a little bit, so that it actually probably will be competing a little bit more head on with American Idol next year, which I think one of the big reasons why they wanted to compete with it is because they felt they could get the younger crowd with all the Twitter blogging references and what have you on the show. And that shows you how dated I am here in my late 20s and still not being able to keep up with it. And I feel like we're kind of lost in between these two generations. And
lost in the interwebs.
I don't really like either of them. And yet I watch both of them.
Right.
But, well, that's one of the ones we're here to talk about tonight. We're also here to talk about Bravo's attempt, actually failed, I'm pretty sure we're not going to see it a second season of it, Platinum Hit, which was originally a Monday night ball buster for the network, and now it's been scurried and hidden away in the Friday night time slot.
I love it.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's better than The Voice. I think it's better than American Idol, but unfortunately, I think this is the last we're going to see of it, unless for some reason they have an open spot next summer. But let's say first things first. The Voice has gone in now where people are already talking about casting for season two, so let's get that conversation out of the way. It feels still fresh to us, though, because we just got caught up with it because we were off on vacation on more important things than watching network television.
Mm-hmm.
So we missed the grand finale live, which it's felt kind of impossible, even though nobody we know really talks about The Voice. It was kind of impossible just to watch the episodes on the internet without finding out in advance who the finalists were, who the final two were, and then who the actual winner was.
It's in the ether. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right. One of the double-edged swords of the accessibility of television nowadays. But it really didn't matter much because, honestly, I felt like I would have cared if we knew who the winner was. I think that if American Idol, I knew in advance that Scotty won, I would have stopped watching it pretty pretty quickly. But with The Voice, it was something where it was interesting enough just to see the hosts or the judges, the coaches interactions, whatever the hell they want us to call them.
You know what? I'm over it.
You're over
I'm over The Voice.
And you're not gonna watch it next
year? Here's the thing. It depends what they do with the rules, because clearly they were making up the rules as they went along. The producers of that show had no clue what they were doing. Seemingly, in the middle of the show, Carson Daly would be, like, making up other rules. He's like the kid you'd play, like, four square with on the playground that would be like, no, because if it goes out of bounds, then you have to spin around twice and no do-overs. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
They had no idea. Like, the first episode, when the Joaches didn't pick enough contestants for a team, they were like, all right, so some people can go again?
And I know that's
so,
not...
so
I agree.
And so here's my theory,
okay,
right?
Okay.
When the rules were being made up on the spot, it was entertaining. And when the Joaches had a much more direct role in shaping the like trajectory of the competition, it was interesting. But once it got became like more American Idol, like the audience votes and everybody performs and we're going to just like fawn over everyone, I just became like really bored. And I can handle that if I have a healthy dose of hatred for the contestants, because I feel like this year at American Idol, I hated everyone. I wanted no one to win. I wanted them all to fail. I wanted the whole, you know, Coke Ford sponsored stage to just split open in some sort of fiery debacle where they all, you know, just fell into it. And I didn't have that with The Voice. I couldn't love, moderately like, or dislike anyone. Like, it was, they were so meh.
I moderately liked all four of the finalists, and I don't think that's something I could have said about American Idol ever. And one of the reasons why it still held my attention, I agree, I think the semifinals are probably the most boring thing about this show. To go back to your point about it feeling kind of spontaneous and kind of kind of riffraff, just like, let's do what we want. I love that. And I agree that they're not going to be able to create that again, kind of do the exact same, have the exact same feel, because they're going to just very meticulously pick apart what they did right, what they did wrong, to try to create the successful
second
season.
But maybe they'll create some failed rule next year.
Right.
You know what I mean? They'll try to ramp it up and it'll just be go horribly wrong.
Yeah, maybe they'll go with that because they've get... Well, I think part of the reason they were able to go with that is because they had the people, faces like CeeLo and Christina Aguilera, who were just absolutely insane. So there was no way that they could actually have certain guidelines, because they know that no matter what they did, these judges and coaches would just make it all fall to crap anyways. But okay, so going back to what I was saying with the semifinals, that's boring. I could definitely do without that. We end up fast forwarding through a lot of that to try to just get to the hilarious parts, like Christina Aguilera feeling herself up and
whatnot. Yeah, that was, I don't know what that was. And they didn't edit it out when they put it online, which is bizarre.
They specifically cut to it right as her hands ramp up to her breasts.
And I'm a lady, right? On occasion, I will wear a strapless dress of some kind. And I understand that sometimes, you know, there's slippage. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. But this was not just pulling up her dress, like, because it had slipped. This was, like, a weird... starting underneath of the boob, kind of like...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm picturing it. Thank you.
Like, I don't know. Some, like, if you could feel yourself up as a dance move, like a fast kind of like disco move.
Oh, yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got you. That was an aside, but...
But here's where I disagree with you. I think the one thing, and this is one of the reasons we like Platinum Hits so much on Bravo, at least I do, is that the final four, when we got to them, I really just like... legitimately, without irony, without sarcasm, I enjoyed watching four people that have gone through this rope-a-dope, you know, kind of makeshift reality show and actually get to play an entire original song. And even though the songs were by no means great, they were at least better than, you know, a one-minute snippet of a bad cover that was hastily put together. And these were probably hastily put together by average industry songwriters, but it still felt different and interesting enough that it actually made me care about them as artists, whereas it's not just a talent show. It's not just a, you know, 20 years later on Star Search kind of thing. And that's where I actually look forward to. I mean, I'm never going to buy a Javier Colon song on iTunes. Spoiler alert, that is the winner. But I think by now people... Well, if we had to, 3 weeks later...
suck it up, people.
Google search Hulu The Voice, and the first thing that came up is, congrats, Javier Colon, for the winner.
Yeah.
Then I think we're...
If you haven't watched The Voice yet, we weren't talking about the winner. I just asked Chris... Have you any cologne?
But even though I would never buy anything related to Javier Colon, or probably either of the other, oh, Dia, what was her, Dia Frampton? Yeah, I probably wouldn't buy anything from hers. I actually did like Vicky Martinez, and if she were to put out a record that wasn't, you know, glossily overproduced, which of course she will, then I might actually somewhat in the landscape of mainstream pop rock, I could have been interested in it.
I'm inspired by your sincerity this evening, Mr. Polly.
You know,
inspired.
It should sound kind of hollow, because there's no way that I actually would follow through with anything that I'm saying right now. But at the same time, I at least watched that finale of The Voice in a very different way than I've watched any other competitive show, because I wasn't, there wasn't too much to laugh at other than the judges.
Yeah. Well, here's how I feel like I have mild enjoyment in my everyday life. So when I'm going to escape, I want to experience only highs or lows.
Yeah.
So I don't have time for the Javier colognes of the world. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do.
I just remember the second I said there was nothing besides the judges that made me laugh or giggle. I remembered the background computer generated effects that would always play.
Yes.
On the fragmented screens behind the singers. Those were always good for a larf.
They were the most literal interpretations of a song ever.
Javier Colon sang Man in the Mirror with his coach Adam Levine, and they showed shards of mirrors in the screens. what was another good one?
There were like hearts when it was like a song like I Love You,
oh, yeah.
Broke My Heart.
Beverly's,
and it was like broken hearts.
Beverly's original song, Lovesick, had a bunch of hearts breaking.
At least it
screen.
Wasn't like a heart with a face and a thermometer, like or one of those like crazy cartoon ice packs on its head.
Right, going.
Although, maybe that'd be more.
Maybe that'd be better.
I will say that Idol, on the Idol voice comparison, that the pyrotechnics criteria, I think the win goes to The Voice.
The best performance of a cover on one of these reality competitive singing shows ever, I think, was the CeeLo Vicky duet of Love
Amazing.
Is a Battlefield. It was, like, I couldn't even, like...
were like children out of the movie Hook, like violently.
It's totally like CeeLo and Vicky must have gotten high and thought, like, said to themselves, you know who's like the best red character, because they were Team Red or whatever. You know who's the best like red movie icon of all time? And they both at the same time said Rufio.
Exactly.
And then it all came together for them.
Speaking of Joaches and contestants doing things together, my belief in Blake Shelton's creepiness met like. New highs.
I was wondering,
or lows, depending on how you look at it.
I was wondering how long it would take you to bring this up. It's been 12 minutes.
I'm sorry.
I think that's pretty long, so thank you for restraining yourself.
Yes, yes. It's buffered over,
so
it's
Blake
tempered
Shelton.
A little bit. Yes, Blake Shelton, who, if you listen to our podcast in the past, I have suggested has a little bit of a daddy complex as a joach.
A little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, at that point, it was just emerging, really, for public view. But it has since sort of... exploded into
emerging exploded. Do you have to keep using these
oh
words?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, I do. Come on, Chris.
he's a disgusting man. He's an absolute pervert. And when I heard his single Honeybee and the overhead at a department store today, I almost wanted to go and strangle the nearest person. And it didn't change when I heard him perform it live.
Right.
Heard him perform what song did he perform with both Senia and Dia? Wait, I'm like on either side of him.
I don't remember.
Oh my god.
I just kept looking for to catch a predator, like.
And here's the kicker.
Lurking in the background.
Recently married to Miranda Lambert, apparently another big country star.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about the country canon of modern music while watching The Voice. Just
they call it a canon.
Oh yeah, they definitely do.
Okay.
When Miranda Lambert was seemingly forced by her husband to do a duet with Dia Frampton, his finalist on The Voice, it was clearly him just plotting, thinking,
how can we turn this into a
if reason? Only if yeah if only the stage could revolve and there'd be a bed there.
These handprints on the front steps
he failed, I think, because it was very clear that Miranda was just doing it for the paycheck. It's like, all right, see you later, honey.
Yeah.
And the divorce is impending now.
The whole thing was just bizarre. And I don't know, have all three or four joaches signed on for next season?
That was something I was wondering about while watching the finale, because they clearly were all there. Like, they're all very happy to be there, you know.
Well, they all need it.
Right.
Really.
They're all there to hawk their latest single or record.
Right.
And Maroon 5's got a new record coming out soon. Their single just started being played out of the radio. CeeLo has a new single from his Lady Killer record that is trying desperately to become as popular as Fuck You, but I doubt it will.
Can we see it on? It's internet radio.
Yeah.
We can say whatever we want.
There's no FCC around here.
Oh.
And then there's Aguilera, who's I thought was just doing this to try to make up for her gaffes in the past from the media, right?
She doesn't know where she is at any point in time. She's crazy. And looking more and more like current-day Cyndi Lauper, like, as time goes on.
Yeah, I know. Like, current, like, she doesn't look like... No, yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad. And, but those breasts.
What about the breasts?
Anyways.
I don't know where we're going with this. I'm sorry, listeners. I need to apologize for my husband.
And then Blake Shelton, I think, has a new record out, or he's still riding off the Honeybee success. Anyways, I don't really see why any of them would come back a year from now, in which they're probably going to be in the interim between their own projects.
I know why Blake Shelton would come back.
Oh, well, yeah. He wants to try this whole threesome thing all over again.
I don't know. Paternalism at its finest.
So I wonder if, like, maybe two of them will come back and then they'll replace two to try to keep it fresh. Maybe they'll just bring back Adam because he's the winning coach. I don't know. I'm not sure what they... But since there's nothing in the news, and the blogs aren't a Twitter about the judges or the joaches for next season, it makes me wonder if, once again, we'll be so lucky to see NBC and the producers fly by the seat of their pants again and just make shit up as they go along.
Here's hoping.
Let's talk about Platinum Hit a little bit.
Let's do it.
So Bravo show Platinum Hit, hosted by Jewel and former American Idol judge Cara DeLaGuardia. Did I say it right?
No.
What the hell is her name?
It's DeLaGuardia.
DeLaGuardia. So it has nothing to do with LaGuardia Airport.
No.
Okay, just checking. And it's technically a songwriting competitive reality show in which 12 budding songwriters who all happen to be in their mid-20s and catty as hell.
Well, Bravo casts all the reality shows that way. Because I know we've been very focused on the music-based reality shows, you know, on the blogulator. But Chris and I were big fans of Work of Art, which was, you know, an artist reality show.
If only it could come back.
And Top Chef to some extent. Mm-hmm. But not as much. But they definitely Bravo definitely has a structure for how they cast the reality shows. Like, they need to check the box of the following people.
And you think
much
that
in the
be...
way that they used to cast like the Real World, like mid Real World,
mid to late '90s,
where they were like, we need to have a homophobic asshole, and we need to have someone who's gay and like just starting to deal with it.
There's got
to
be this like chart of like relationship dynamic possibilities that like some like crazy mad scientist was forced to sit in this room for hours to try to create.
Which makes me find them all insufferable, which is why I love it.
Exactly. It shouldn't work on any level, and if you don't have a knack for kind of this kind of sarcastic TV viewing, then it probably is just going to annoy you to hell. But if you can go way past that, cross that line and into enjoying the parody of absurdism that this actually is, then it can be quite beautiful.
I'd say, yeah, I think my hatred for the contestants is definitely stunning, but...
You know, once again, I feel like I've crossed that line past hatred, and now I actually enjoy
that. That's what I was going to say, is I have a healthy respect for the show, and I do watch it with some sense of sincerity, because it's songwriting, which I feel like singing, right? Like, everybody thinks that they can sing a little.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's like, not everybody's like, I'm amazing, but singing is like a skill, like, you think, oh, I can sing a little.
Yeah.
But, like, songwriting...
I'm actually
a little impressed that they're able to go, because they get 30 minutes on each show to like write a hook of a song, And if you were like, hey, go write a hook of a hit song in 30 minutes, like, I'd come out and probably just like throw up all over your shoes.
Just steal something.
Or I'd sing like Row, Row, Row Your Boat with different lyrics. Like, so I think there's a part of me that's actually like impressed with the skill set that they have, even though personality wise, they're just absolutely dreadful people.
Oh yeah, and you know what, the skill set thing. I mean, I you have a good point that it's kind of impressive that they're able to come up with a alleged hook in 30 minutes. But at the same time, for what the value of that is, it totally does not equate to the ego and head that they create for themselves, which is part of the entertaining part about it.
Yeah. But you know what's so awesome about them too, though, because of which creates that whole big head egomania thing, is because unlike contestants on singing shows, they don't think of themselves as performers.
No.
Right? They think of themselves as like poets and artists.
Exactly.
And like the most just
something that's
pretentious,
more...
like assholery, all rolled up in like a big, you know, bow from American Apparel. It's just like amazing.
Yeah, and that's a funny thing to bring up, actually, is that you've got people that are supposed to be the people behind the scenes. They're supposed to be the people that, you know, just in the service of the song. We saw Linda Perry, who's a very famous industry songwriter on The Voice, show up to play guitar and help Christina Aguilera and her team, whatever, finalist, Beverly, do a performance of Beautiful, the song that Linda Perry wrote for Christina Aguilera. And she's clearly there just like, whatever, I do this for a paycheck. I'll play guitar because they're going to give me a nice sum of money at the end of this. But these people on Platinum Hit, they clearly aren't just there because it's a job. They're there because they feel like it's their calling. It's like they're meant to be there. It's, they don't just see it as something they're good at. It's something that they have like a natural gift for that was given to them by some undetermined higher power.
Right. And this gift is something that not only they feel entitled to share with the world as their living and their sense of being, but that they feel that they're providing the world with some sort of special gift of their poetry and their thoughts. Like, because they're expressing emotions in a way that have never been expressed before.
Like love songs.
Yeah, let's talk about this. Okay. Because I know this upset you as much as it upset me.
So we're one week behind because we thought they'd actually be pretty easy to catch up with a Bravo show since they replay all their shows all the time. But I was looking at the TV schedule today to see if we could.
It's all Housewives. That's all they play.
They literally play Platinum Hit just Friday nights, and then they encore the previous week's episode on Friday mornings at 6 a.m. So it's like it's impossible, but it's fine because we get the gist of it. We watched the first five episodes. Episode 7 premieres this Friday evening, the 15th, and the last one we saw was the love song episode, which sounds boring as hell, and it kind of was, but it was so hilarious to try to see these people with these huge egos try to distill themselves into a hook at the beginning of the show for their, you know, beginning challenge. Just like,
and very few of them were actually about love. Like, most of them are about, like, how what you've done to me badly is affecting my life.
They get confused with the idea of theme with the idea of keyword. Right. So they're like, oh, love, I'll write about that bitch doesn't love me anymore.
Right.
And so we get to see these people that specifically... two of my favorite characters. One is Nick, who is the guy that writes the song about the girl that doesn't love him anymore for the one that's supposed to be a love song.
Do you ever think about me now that you're with him? When you're with him, do all things we used to do come pouring out of you in conversation when you're conversating, yeah. Do you ever say my name by mistake?
And he's very much an emo guy that got kicked out by the emo group. And so he feels like, well, if the emo guys don't like me, I must be too good for them. And so I have
to
go to Hollywood.
He traveled with Warped Tour, you know.
Which he makes a point to bring up every other episode. But he's the drama queen. He's the guy that makes sure to tear everybody apart so that for the purpose of him winning.
Right.
And
That kind of ages him a little bit, too. Does the Warped Tour, is that still like a thing?
It is still a thing.
The kids these days, they go to a Warped Tour?
It's very
different. Is it still sponsored by Vans? Because that's weird.
Actually, I think it is. But it's very much not... I don't even think it's emo anymore. I think it's like crabcore and stuff, shit like that. So I don't think it's something that... I think he probably aged out of it just a little too late. And now
I don't know what crabcore is, but I imagine it to be actual crabs that are like...
Very close.
Banging to metal music. which is an adorable image.
Fake hardcore kids who dance like crabs. I'll YouTube it for you later. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Anyways, he's hilarious on the show because he's the center of attention and they're clearly keeping him on because he's actually a decent songwriter. He knows how to create a catchy melody, but that's basically all he knows how to do.
I thought you were going to talk about my favorite contestant.
Who's your favorite contestant?
And how she handled the topic of love this week. Sonia.
Oh, yeah, she's great too.
My favorite contestant, who up until this week I feel has been very underappreciated on the show. She has not gotten nearly as much play as she deserves. But she decided to write her song about love, which was the winning song, by the way, called Love Me to Life, which was her profound way of expressing how, you know, I don't want you to love me to death. Because anyone can break me down. I want you to love me to life. Which the judges on the show apparently thought was the most original creative idea of all time. Love Me to Life. Yep. And they kept bringing up how amazing that concept was. How poetic.
Yeah. And you have a great story about being a freshman in college and having a professor of, well, he's even a professor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
a full-fledged professor of a poetry seminar for freshmen.
Called What is a Poem?
What is a Poem? And he explained the answer to this question using a song by Garbage.
Correct.
In which he commented on the lyric, help me out.
The lyric, well, first of all, he turned all the lights off.
A requisite for a poetry professor.
Yes. And it was, I will die for you, you know, I will die for you.
Right, from the Romeo and Juliet song.
Right. Yeah. And he said, why does everyone always say, I would die for you? Why don't they say, I would live for you? And you can't see my hand gestures, dear listeners, but suffice it to say that, you know, he came up with that concept of Love Me to Life back in 2001.
Uh-huh.
So either Sonia was in my class or her idea is maybe not as original.
It's possible. Yeah. I also wanted to mention that, I mean, you've got to have a hilarious relationship. And it's Jess and Johnny. Johnny, which is a former software engineer and constantly dealing with it.
And Jess with one S.
Just in case people didn't figure out.
That's enough.
Jerksica is actually named Jess, and she uses the normal way of spelling it, which is with two S's. Right. Because the name Jessica has two freaking S's in it.
Right.
How hard is it, people?
Right.
Anyways, they have developed a little fling, and so when the love song challenge comes, of course, they write songs about each other. But because they're insufferable people that have yet to figure out that their songwriting ability isn't anything more than adequate, that by just saying what's on the top of their mind about the person, saying, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, over and over again, does not a chorus make. And Johnny, trying to do his best John Mayer impression every week, does not an original style make. So we end up with two people that are obsessed with themselves, but channeling it through this puppy love crush for each other.
They're also the worst daters I've ever seen. And that's coming from me, and I'm a pretty horrible dater.
And they're like our age.
Yeah, I don't understand. They like act like eighth graders. Like, you know when you have like someone pushing you to dance, like physically pushing you to dance together at like your eighth grade dance. It's like that's how they date.
Right.
It's
hilariously terrible.
It's something to behold.
And ultimately, this is exactly why Platinum Hit surpasses all those other shows, because ultimately, while I think you make a good point, I moderately liked The Voice, but in the end, they're not going to be able to recapture the magic of this whack-a-mole first season. And secondly, it's just so much more fun when the characters hate each other.
I know.
And they really do hate each other on Platinum Hit, and they've really perfected this kind of ego plus conflict equals...
Are we becoming the lowest common denominator that these producers aim towards? Yeah. That's us now.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. Okay. I mean, if The Voice wants to try to be something better than that, feel free.
Yeah, but, entertain me, NBC.
I'm here for the drama, not for the talent.
Highs and the lows, that's all I have time for. Like
right,
I said,
exactly.
That's all I have time for.
Exactly. So,
I got enough meh in my life.
Ultimately, I think Platinum Hit is a platinum win.
Yes.
And we end up wondering why we even are trying to progress as a culture with these reality shows when it's obvious that the only reason we watch them is for, you know, the highs and the lows, like you mentioned. So ultimately, that's my question to you, Jerksica.
Okay.
Why are we trying to make things better and try to cut out the criticism when the whole reason that American Idol was popular in the first place is because Simon Cowell wasn't afraid to call out people for being horrible?
Well, that takes me back to my initial question to you about The Voice versus American Idol and the time slot, because wondering if it was sort of a demographic swirl in those two shows, because I think Idol in the last couple of seasons since Simon's departure has really appealed. Well, actually, this is the first season he was gone, but he was like gone, you know.
Oh, yeah. He was gone mentally a long time ago.
But I mean, that show had kind of middled out, right? And you could see the change in, like, the type of contestants that won, right? Because now everybody that wins that show is, like, a guitar-playing white guy, you know, hopefully country. And that's appealing to a very specific demographic of people that are calling into the show that probably were not part of the group that, you know, likely felt alienated when there was higher criticism and more pointed criticism on the show and other people, you know,
but
won that show.
And here's the thing.
And so that's why I wonder, you know, are those, yes, can reality television be broken down into narrower categories, you know?
Oh, I think we're seeing that it can, very much so. But what I'm wondering is that with the lack of criticism or the less and less criticism, it'll be interesting to see, even though I'm not excited for it at all, content-wise, to see if Simon Cowell does do the criticism thing with his new show, The X Factor, in the fall. But while that inspired drama, we end up with a show like Platinum Hit that's failing miserably in Bravo's ratings when it's doing exactly what all of its other shows that are wildly successful is doing, but just adding the competitive element to it, like a winner, as opposed to The Housewives and Bethany, which is just day-to-day lives. It's like these categories are becoming so broken down that we end up with ones that are fraying to the edges because they resemble something too much of what's already been done. But what's already been done is something far more interesting than what we're getting now with the goody-goody just praise over and over again of American Idol and a lot of The Voice. And so it seems like the people that just want the performance are going to American Idol and The Voice. People that actually want drama are going to Bravo.
Right.
But there's no room for anything in between or anything recalling what used to be on American Idol.
Yeah.
Because it's diverged so much. Now we have polar opposites. It's annoying. I'm sick of it. I just want, I want the both. I want competition and drama put together. And I just want Platinum Hit and Work of Art to be the only two reality shows on TV is what I'm saying.
Okay. I think that I still think there's a demographic split. And I don't know how you gauge whether or not that's true. But I feel like now the people that are watching those sort of middling shows, you know, like American Idol, are the type of people that send you email forwards about angels or like,
exactly,
you know, post this if you're proud to be a mom. And the people that are watching some of the angrier shows are the kind of people that forward those on to other people,
right,
with like snarky comments.
And I think it's telling that like 30 Rock did a show that was half homage, half making fun of the Bravo shows when they did Queen of Jordan.
Yes.
Because it's clear that like that's the kind of group that absolutely loves what Bravo's doing, but at the same time totally rejects it in the way that they look at it and laugh at it rather than actually sympathize and identify with those characters,
right?
Because those people that forward the right, angel emails, they get too worked up and stressed out, right, when they watch those shows, and so they'd rather have something more comforting where it's just Steven Tyler totally coked out of his mind, but them not realizing it and him just saying positive things over and over again because he doesn't know where he is right now. So in the end, it's sad, but American Idol's dead. The Voice is sporadically entertaining, but ultimately shows like Platinum Hit are very few and far between nowadays. And whether or not we'll see a second season of Work of Art this year remains to be seen. There's been,
I'm crossing my fingers,
little to nothing on the radar about it. We're hoping.
Because what can you judge less accurately
than
art? The most subjective competition of all.
And so concludes, on a kind of a whimpering note, this edition of Blogulator Radio. We'd like to mention real quick, we didn't get a chance to hype it appropriately last week due to the 4th of July holidays, but we're very excited to once again this month be hosting with Girl Germs, the other Fancy Pants Gangsters Network show, the TV Party monthly event at Red Stag Supper Club. And tonight, actually Monday, July 11th, is our one featuring five of our favorite episodes of Roseanne.
9 p.m.
Has picked by the Blogulator crew with some help from Dana from Girl Germs. It's happening at 9 p.m. If you happen to catch the blogcast before then. Otherwise, we'll be back at the first Monday of the month in August for a show that has yet to be picked.
You should come.
We'll give you more info.
We're fun people.
We're very fun. And yeah, we're there live in person.
They have good food.
They have excellent food at the Red Stag.
Yeah.
But thank you for being with us. And just to remind you that, well, the reason we do this is because
our opinions are valid. I don't ever want to love another lover again.